I'm Mike DeCourcy, filling in for Brian Emmons this week as he is off on assignment at the British Open, and certainly look forward to bringing this to you today and hopefully shed some light on a local story, a local legend, and a time when Daviess County, Indiana was not just the talk of the state, but was the talk of our country. As you know, I'm Mike DeCourcy, and typically here on Shake Broadcasting, you hear me as the voice of the Vikings, but my day-to-day 9-to-5 job is I'm a teacher at Bar Eve, and typically I like to consider myself a history teacher first. I'm a history buff. I love war stories, documentaries, and learning about where we came from to today. This week's story actually starts with my son, Dane. It was several years ago, and Dane was a junior high student at the time, and it was about the time that several ancestry-type companies were advertising their products on the internet. My wife and I thought it would be cool, as Dane, like a chip off the old block, wanted to get into family history, building out family trees, and just kind of learning where he came from, not just on my side, but my wife's Amber side as well. We ordered him a kit off of 23andme.com, and Dane, as the junior high student that he was, spit in the tube. We sent it off, and 6 weeks later, we had results. Now, I will say that this is one year where a Christmas gift that maybe we bought for one of our kids, it was one that selfishly I was looking forward to as well. And it was going to be a fun little project to do with my son. My son got interested in genealogy. He got interested in the countries that he actually and our family actually immigrated from. And he just wanted to find answers to questions. He had heard stories about people that we knew who had adoption issues and wanted to find out who their real biological parents were. We had heard stories about people who had went out looking for their original parents. We had heard stories about, you know, occasionally people finding out, oh my, I've got another child that I didn't know about. Just all of this interesting stuff. But mainly this was centered around us, our family history, and our family tree. 6 weeks later, we got the results that we wanted and that we needed. First of all, we found out that the old family tale that we were Irish, well, that wasn't necessarily true or at all. And we found out a bunch of different origin stories about who we are and where we came from. After getting these initial results, we found out about another company called GEDmatch. And GEDmatch is a genealogy-based website where you can take your results from any genealogy test that you might take, and you can plug them in, and the results are amazing. And what it does is it biologically shows you all of your cousins and relatives, no matter how far out they may be from around the world. You can find out about long-lost second cousins. You can connect with families and family members on social media, and just begin to grasp how far your family roots actually branch out around the world. Now, years later, we find out that this company, GEDmatch, does become a bit controversial for good ways and bad ways. For example, it's used in genetic genealogy. It's a crime-fighting technique that law enforcement officers across the United States and around the world are using to break open what were previously considered unsolvable crimes. Cases like the Golden State Killer in California, the yogurt shop murders just recently in Austin, Texas, and basically everywhere around the country, this technology has been used to solve crimes. But not only has it been used to solve crimes, it's been used to exonerate literally hundreds of people across the country who've been convicted of crimes that they just simply didn't commit. But that's not the reason we did all of this. We wanted to learn about our family history. And when we did, we found names that were connected to our family that helped my son start building out that family tree and names that have been connected to Davies and surrounding counties for a long time. Of course, I'm a DeCourcy. My wife was a Gwynn and a Wagler. But then on my side of the family, we had Letts and Heddens and Joneses and every other name in the family underneath the sun. But there was one name that stood out in this genealogy match that appeared on our family tree that I never expected. And it led me back to a story that several of my longtime friends have heard. I've brought you several true crime stories here on Fair Shake. And this week is another one, but it's from right here in Davies County. In 1893, one of the families that showed up on our own family tree was the last name Ratten. It was a case that went national over a century ago. At the time, Washington and Davies County was growing. If you look back at census records, you can find that the city of Washington between 1880 and 1890 actually doubles in size, and the county is growing as well. But still, this crime was so unthinkable that it showed locally that anything can happen in Davies County. When we come back from our first time out, we're going to talk about this crime, the crazy twists and turns, and how in one night, an entire family was murdered, thrusting Davies County and a little town known as Glendale into the national spotlight. When we come back, we'll talk about the Ratten family murders and how 1893 in rural Indiana was a much different place than you can even imagine. Help wasn't minutes away. Sometimes it could be hours or days. And where neighbors depended on each other for their own well-being. It wasn't the Wild West, but we were not that far away in Davies County. When we come back, we'll talk about the Ratten family murders after this first time out, right here on Fair Shake.
Sharp Trailers in Elnora is your local source for trailer sales, service, and parts. With hundreds of trailers on order arriving on a regular basis, call to discuss your needs today. Sharp Trailers is proud to be a supporter of the Davies County Fair and 4-H Auction each year. The youth in our community are the future. Come out and support their projects and efforts in each project. We wish the best of luck to all 4-H kids, families, and volunteers this year. Stop by Sharp Trailers in Elnora, call 812-692-5288, or visit online at sharptrailers.com. Make plans now to join in the fun at the Washington Catholic Summer Social, an annual tradition open to everyone in the community. The fun begins on Saturday, July 25th from 6 to 10 p.m. with a beer garden featuring our famous fish sandwiches, burgers, hot dogs, and live music from the Alexia Caballero Band. Then come back on Sunday, July 26th, beginning with outdoor mass at the Commons at 10 a.m., followed by the Summer Social from 11 till 3. Enjoy the famous homemade noodle dinner at the Knights of Columbus. Live music by Joe and Jenna. Brand new kids games, basket raffles, a grand raffle, homemade ice cream, lemonade shakeups, and so much more. Bring your family, a lawn chair, your friends, and come enjoy one of Washington's favorite summer traditions, the Washington Catholic Summer Social, July 25th and 26th at the Commons in downtown Washington.
Indiana State Fair returns August 7th through the 23rd with the greatest concert value of the summer on the Hoosier Lottery Free Stage. All concerts are free with paid State Fair admission. Performers include Gene Simmons, Busta Rhymes, The Beach Boys, Trace Adkins, Brett Michaels, Josiah Queen, Grand Funk Railroad, Don McLean, Craig Morgan, Sammy Kershaw, Tusk, Happy Together, and more. Grab your State Fair tickets today at IndianaStateFair.com. ProCom Satellite is a locally owned operation that offers satellite, cell phone, and internet service right here in Washington. ProCom Satellite reps for the biggest names, Dish Network, DirecTV, and Boost Mobile, offering the best products, the best local service, and the best prices. If you've been thinking about Boost Mobile, Dish Network, Starlink, DirecTV, a Google Nest, or other technical services, call ProCom Satellite today at 257-0333, 257-0333, or stop by at 402 South State Road 57 in Washington.
Here's your forecast from the ABK Flooring Weather Center. Into the weekend, we have a slight chance for showers through early afternoon, then showers and maybe a thunderstorm midday today. Sunny skies otherwise, highs will reach 90, chance for rain is 60%. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms again through the overnight with lows at 72. Should be sunny and dry on Sunday. Tomorrow, 88. Sunshine on Monday, back around 90 degrees.
Memories 107.9. We'll be right back to the best music ever made. But first, a bathroom break.
I'm Mike DeCourcy, back for segment number two of Fair Shake. And in segment number one, we introduced the story that we were going to tell this week, the Ratton family murders. There's something about country roads after dark. They seem quieter than anywhere else. The wind moves through the corn. Frogs are in the creeks, creaking at night. A porch light glows in the distance, and somewhere a dog barks before everything falls silent again. Today, those roads are paved. Cars pass every few minutes. Cell phones, they connect us instantly. But imagine southwestern Indiana more than 130 years ago. There's no electricity, no telephones, no radios, no 911. Just scattered farmhouses connected by dirt roads, rail lines, and just the trust that neighbors placed in one another. Welcome to Daviess County, Indiana, and the year is 1893. And before this story is over, one quiet farm will become the scene of one of the most shocking crimes in Indiana history. To understand the Ratton murders, you first have to understand the world that the family lived in. Daviess County in 1893 was overwhelmingly rural. Our county seat, Washington, it was growing, but beyond its streets were just miles and miles of farms. Families measured seasons by planting and harvest, not by the calendar. Most homes were heated with wood or coal. Water typically came from wells. Evening lights came from kerosene lamps. A trip to town wasn't something that you did every day. It was meticulously planned around supplies, church, courthouse business, or maybe the railroad. Children often helped with chores before and after school, and neighbors depended on one another during harvests, barn raisings, illnesses, and especially hard winters. In many parts of the county, the nearest neighbor may be a half a mile or more away, but that distance made rural life peaceful. But it also meant isolation. If something terrible happened, help wasn't just minutes away. It could be hours or even days. The year of 1893 was very difficult across the country. In the spring of 93, the United States was plunged into what would become known as the Panic of 1893, one of the worst economic depressions of the 19th century. Banks were failing, railroads were collapsing, businesses were closing, and unemployment climbed sharply in cities all across the United States. For farm families in southern Indiana, life had never been easy, but hard times now became even harder. Crop prices were plummeting, cash was scarce, and many families lived almost entirely off what they could grow, raise, or trade. Yet communities like Glendale right here in Daviess County, they endured. Church suppers continued, schoolhouses opened each fall, and neighbors still looked after one another. And despite economic uncertainty, there remained a widespread belief that places like rural Indiana were safe. Violence happened somewhere else. It didn't happen here. It happened in distant cities, not in Daviess County, not among people who knew each other by name. That belief would soon be shattered. On a farm in Daviess County lived Dillard Denson Ratton. Also with him were his wife Ada, their children, and members of their extended family. Like so many Hoosier farm family, their days revolved around work. Livestock needed tending, fields needed attention, meals had to be prepared from scratch, and every member of the household contributed in some way. The Ratton home was neither famous nor wealthy, although that does contribute to the crime. It was simply one of hundreds of farmhouses scattered across Daviess County. To neighbors, it was another hardworking family just trying to make a living. No one could have imagined that within days, the name Ratton would appear in newspapers across America. Late summer was one of the busiest times of the year. Corn was high in the fields. Livestock needed constant attention. Days began before sunrise and often ended after sunsets. And without electric lights, darkness brought an end to most work days. Families gathered around the supper table. Children studied by lamplight. Adults talked about weather, crops, politics, and neighbors. Outside, the countryside settled into silence. It was a silence that most people found comforting. Until one September morning, something felt wrong. A routine that had never been broken suddenly was. Neighbors noticed unusual signs. Work that should have been done wasn't. The ordinary rhythm of what should have been farm life had stopped. At first, it may have seemed like nothing more than an unexpected delay, but concern quickly grew. Someone decided to check on the family. What they were about to discover would shock not only Daviess County, but would dominate headlines across Indiana and the United States, and leave a scar on our community that would endure for generations. When we come back, we'll follow those neighbors to the Ratton farm, examine what investigators found, and see how a quiet farming community in southern Daviess County struggled to make sense of the most shocking crime in our county's history. We will introduce suspects, talk about the crime, and the unbelievable conclusion that sometimes the most evil people in the world, they might live next door. We'll be back for segment number three, talking about the Ratton family murders on Fair Shake, after this timeout.
At Bobcat of Daviess County, we're proud to salute the heroes who serve our communities every day. If you're active or retired military, law enforcement, fire and rescue, or a healthcare professional, you may qualify for the Bobcat Bravo program. Receive up to 24% off eligible new Bobcat equipment and 3.9% financing for up to 36 months. Thank you for all you do. Visit Bobcat of Daviess County today and ask about the Bravo Heroes program. Bobcat, that's one tough animal. Your new home for the Bob and Tom Show, the Razor 94.5 WRZR, is proud to present a special show at the Astra Theater for one big night, Saturday, August 22nd. as we welcome Pat Godwin, a regular on the Bob and Tom Show, to the Astra in Jasper.
Pearl Jam started that whole thing. It's called the Jackass style of singing when they do it. Pearl Jam started it. Too, same thing.
Get your tickets before they're gone at astratheater.com. That's astratheater.com. Don't miss comedian Pat Godwin from The Bob and Tom Show live at the Astra Saturday, August 22nd. Presented by your home for The Bob and Tom Show, the Razor 94.5 WRZR. Rhodes Automotive is your reliable, prompt, and affordable auto repair shop at 2010 East National Highway in Washington. Now open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Rhodes Automotive offers a free shuttle service to get you back to work or home. Rhodes Automotive has professional ASE-certified technicians to diagnose the problem and get you road ready. Rhodes Automotive is again proud to announce they are now open Monday through Friday from 7 to 6. Call 812-642-5020. That's 812-642-5020.
The roar of the NTT IndyCar Series is back.
Rip around Joseph Newgarden and make that pass.
Still waiting for Will Power, a disastrous stop. The car is hiccuped and Will Power remains here along pit road.
Drag race into turn one and Scott McLaughlin takes the race lead using that high line.
Listen to the NTT IndyCar Series at Nashville Super Speedway. Live Sunday, July 19th.
Sunday, July 19th at 5 p.m. on Memories 107.9.
Thinking about switching internet? Now's the time. New residential customers who sign up for qualifying IntelliSense fiber delivered by RTC can receive a $150 Amazon gift card after installation and meeting promotional requirements. Plus, refer a friend and you both receive a $50 bill credit. Get fast, reliable fiber internet with local customer service you can count on. Offer valid July 10th through August 10th. Call RTC or stop by today. Offer valid for qualifying new residential customers only.
Here's your forecast from the ABK Flooring Weather Center. Into the weekend, we have a slight chance for showers through early afternoon, then showers and maybe a thunderstorm midday today. Sunny skies otherwise. Highs will reach 90, chance for rain is 60%. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms again through the overnight with lows at 72. Should be sunny and dry on Sunday. Tomorrow, 88. Sunshine on Monday, back around 90 degrees.
Memories 107.9, waking you up right here in Washington with the Morning Shakeup.
I'm Mike DeCourcy, and we're back for segment number three on Fair Shake, where we're talking about local history and a local legend today. Maybe the darkest time in the history of our county, at least in the early years, the Ratton family murders of 1893. Now, before our last time out, we talked about rural Indiana in 1893 and how it was a different time, obviously. Families lived on bigger farms, sometimes a half a mile or a mile apart. They sometimes went days without seeing their neighbors. There's no telephones, no electric lights, no communication with each other. And neighbors sometimes had to act on instinct and familiarity and just look for clues if something was wrong with their neighbors. And farm life often gave clues to the fact that something might be wrong. Animals needed tended, chores needed done morning and night, smoke usually rose from the chimneys, and it was up to neighbors to help take care of each other. And on September 18th, of 1893, it was one of those neighbors who seemingly was checking in. James Bud Stone noticed that at the Ratton family farm, something wasn't right. He had known that the father of the family, Denson Ratton, had been suffering from typhoid and had not been out of bed in several days. When he called on the family, what he found was shocking. Six victims had all been bludgeoned to death with a corn knife. Ada Ratton, age 32, was the mother of the Ratton family and the wife of Denson Ratton. Elizabeth Ratton was 61. She was the grandmother living with the family. There's going to be more about her later, but there was a legend that she was sitting on a lot of money at the time in 1893. Remember, we talked about those economic problems. $2,000 was the legend that she had kept in her bedroom. Denson Ratton was found dead in his bed. He was 35, and as we mentioned, he was already sick with typhoid. And then the three children, Ethel, age 11, Stella, age 9, and Henry, age 3. Now, there's going to be a twist in this case here in just a second with 11-year-old Ethel Ratton. This was a different time in Indiana. This was so horrific that it was unheard of, and it immediately became news. Investigators quickly realized that this was not an accident in rural Indiana. And remember, we talked about how police work, travel was not the same. As quickly as the sheriff and the coroner arrive, which was hours, law enforcement in Indiana was much different in 1893. There were very limited investigative techniques and resources. There was no fingerprints, no DNA. Photography was something that was a luxury reserved for the rich. Crime scene preservation was rudimentary and just in its beginning stages. But the coroner examined the scene to estimate the sequence of events. And investigators, they just relied on physical observations and witness statements and things like bloodhounds to track potential criminals in situations like this. Today, investigators, they secure crime scenes almost immediately. But in 1893, curious neighbors would often gather and mess with evidence before it could be protected by police and authorities. Whereas today, news travels instantly. In 1893, it was a little bit slower to get out, but still, in a couple of days, the news spreads across Indiana and the country, whether it was by horseback, telegraph, railroads, newspapers, like the Washington Democrat reporting. Evansville papers quickly pick up the story, Indianapolis, Chicago, and the crime becomes sensationalized across the Midwest and the United States. And instantly, the entire state becomes fascinated by the mystery because so many people lived exactly like the Ratton family did in Daviess County. For perhaps the first time in the county, rewards were offered to find whoever did this and bring them to justice. But the reaction in our own county was much different. People who had never locked their doors were suddenly starting to do so. People wondered if a murderer remained nearby. Rumors were spreading. Everybody had theories. Suspicion fell on innocent people. We'll talk about some of the arrests that are going to be made. But gossip was clearly driving this case. But what became so haunting about this case in its early days is law enforcement, trials, and things of that nature did not take long in 1893. But this case went several weeks without an arrest. And there were arrests during the case, but eventually these people had alibis, they had witnesses placing these people in other towns. There was an arrest in Vincennes, in Flora, Illinois, in Terre Haute, and even six men here in Daviess County who had initially been rumored to be part of a gang. And not the gang that you might think of here in 2026. But we're talking train robbers and old-time Wild West gangs of criminals who would just do things for financial incentives. And the rumors quickly spread about that $2,000 that may have been hidden in the Ratton house. In 1893, funerals were conducted very quickly. The Ratton family was almost immediately buried where they still lay in the Ebenezer Cemetery on 257, just north of the Pike County line in Daviess County. But let's go back to something that we talked about earlier, and that was 11-year-old Ethel Ratton. Although this little girl had been bludgeoned and was in a coma, she survives, at least for a couple of days. She is nowhere to be found at her family, brothers and sisters, and her grandmother's funeral. But unbelievably, she begins to wake up. She is placed with family, and she begins being cared for by doctors. And at one of these family dinners, just a few days after the funeral, she is paid a visit by Bud Stone, who initially found the bodies. He told guests at the dinner that he wanted to go back and spend some time with the girl. And as he walked out, he explained that little Ethel, age 11, had passed. So now, investigators are now dealing with 6 murders instead of 5. With all of the suspects that had been gathered, attention begins to be focused on the man that many thought may have been a good Samaritan in the first place, Bud Stone. Rumors quickly spread that he was the culprit of the Ratton family murders, and he did it by himself for financial gain. Suspicion rises, investigators begin doing their work, and a shocking conclusion to this story, the Ratton family murders. Sometimes the most evil people in your life literally live right next door. When we come back for the final segment of Fair Shake, we are going to talk about the arrest, the trial, the conviction, and eventually the execution of James Bud Stone, including his shocking confessions. We'll be back after this final timeout.
Procom Satellite is a locally owned operation that offers satellite, cell phone, and internet service right here in Washington. Procom Satellite reps for the biggest names, Dish Network, DirecTV, and Boost Mobile, offering the best products, the best local service, and the best prices. If you've been thinking about Boost Mobile, Dish Network, Starlink, DirecTV, a Google Nest, or other technical services, call Procom Satellite today at 257-0333, 257-0333, or stop by at 402 South State Road 57 in Washington.
It's another big jam-packed weekend of great live entertainment at the 2026 Montgomery Turkey Trot Festival. Save the dates and join us at the Montgomery Brewerton Park September 10th through the 13th. On Friday night, September 11th, country newcomer from American Idol, John Foster, takes the stage.
I'm so lonesome I could cry. I got some ocean last night in the arms of a girl in Louisiana.
Come back Saturday for another big night of great live entertainment as superstars Lone Star will be on the big stage at the Turkey Trot Festival. September 10th through the 13th at the Montgomery Brewerton Park. For the complete schedule of events, follow the Montgomery Brewerton Club Facebook page.
Baby, I'm amazed by you.
Sharp Trailers in Elnora is your local source for trailer sales, service, and parts. With hundreds of trailers on order arriving on a regular basis, call to discuss your needs today. Sharp Trailers is proud to be a supporter of the Davies County Fair and 4-H Auction each year. The youth in our community are the future. Come out and support their projects and efforts in each project. We wish the best of luck to all 4-H kids, families, and volunteers this year. Stop by Sharp Trailers in Elnora, call 812-692-5288, or visit online at sharptrailers.com.
Get ready to rock! The next show in our Washington Community Concert Series is Saturday, August 8th, featuring That 70s Rock Show.
Got to get ourselves back to the garden. Teenage wasted.
August 8th in the Washington High School Auditorium. Doors open at 6:30. Show starts at 7:30. Tickets are $25 and available at Springs Valley Bank in Washington or online at WashingtonCommunityConcerts.com. Flashback to the 70s with That 70s Rock Show live in the Washington High School Auditorium, Saturday, August 8th.
Here's your forecast from the ABK Flooring Weather Center. Into the weekend, we have a slight chance for showers through early afternoon, then showers and maybe a thunderstorm midday today. Sunny skies otherwise, highs will reach 90, chance for rain is 60%. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms again through the overnight with lows at 72. Should be sunny and dry on Sunday. Tomorrow, 88. Sunshine on Monday, back around 90 degrees.
These are the songs you grew up with.
I absolutely love it.
We are Memories 107.9.
I'm Mike DeCourcy, back on the final segment of this week's Fair Shake. And before our last time out, we introduced the first good suspect in the Ratton family murders, a guy named James Bud Stone, who lived nearby the Rattons with his wife and family. Stone was a farmer. He was 42 years old. And remember, there was a legend that Grandma Ratton, Elizabeth, had amassed a savings of nearly $2,000. Now, to put that in today's figures, that would be about $75,000. And a substantial amount of money in a time where there was economic crisis in 1893. And as if this case didn't have enough intrigue and rumor about it at the time, it was soon to get worse. Sheriffs and investigators constantly made trips back and forth to the Ratton cabin, and very quickly, local reports at the time indicated that the sheriff met with a mysterious woman in black who had entered the sheriff's buggy, had sat for 30 minutes, and then had disappeared. And whatever happened in that 30-minute meeting quickly led to a grand jury being convened in Davies County. And quickly, Stone and other men were arrested for the crime. As the grand jury convened, Stone not only said he was involved, but he implicated six other men locally: John White, Martin Yarborough, William Kays, Gip Clark, Alonzo Williams, and Grandison Cosby. Stone said they were all involved. They were part of a gang, and the family of six was murdered for that alleged $2,000. After investigation techniques and all of the crime scene was examined, they did find some money that night, but not nearly the $2,000 that was the local rumor at the time. Grandma Ratton had hidden in her dresser drawers, had sewed money into her dress, and had basically funneled away about $700, none of which was stolen in the actual crime. Now, even in 2026, most police and investigators will tell you indications of guilt still center around a suspect constantly changing their story, and that's what Stone was doing in 1893. After questioning from the grand jury, Stone made the horrific and shocking confession that he, and he alone, was the culprit of the Ratton family murders. And although his confession may have been shocking, what was even more stunning was that the mysterious lady in black, who was the reason for the grand jury being convened anyway, was Bud Stone's wife, Cecilia. She had turned him in. Cecilia Stone had noticed the night of the Ratton murders, her husband was out late and came back with blood-soaked clothes. And this information she passed on to local authorities. Now with Stone arrested in October of 1893, the trial convened and Stone gave his shocking confession. He admitted that the crime was done purely for financial gain, and even over 130 years ago, the way he began his crime, it still follows the blueprint of what people might do today. He went to the Ratton home that night, and he had a ruse. He said he had a toothache, he needed pain medication, and the Ratton family mother was happy to oblige, like any neighbor would have in 1893. And then his crimes begin. Now, the descriptions of these crimes are still so horrific, I don't even want to go into it on air, but they are documented so well in different sources and on the internet. You can read about them for yourself. But Stone was looking for money. And even more unbelievably, Stone, in his confession, is going to say that 3 days after the initial crimes had been committed, he was the one that had killed Ethel Ratton as well. Remember, little Ethel was 11 years old. She had survived. She had been moved in with family members and neighbors as she was coming out of a coma. And Stone admitted to smothering her so there would be no witnesses left. Now, also in 1893, there was a bit of mob justice that was still normalized in the United States. When horrible crimes happened, community members, neighbors, citizens, they took it upon themselves to deliver their own version of justice. Mobs quickly stormed the Daviess County Jail, not just looking for Stone, but looking for the other culprits as well. Local authorities, wanting to make sure that this actual trial took place, moved the men to the Jeffersonville prison, hours away, to ensure their lives and their safety. As Bud Stone's trial took place in October of 1893, he quickly entered a plea guilt, but he begged the court for leniency. He said he had done the crime, and he had done it all by himself. The trial was quick. It lasted just an hour. The verdict was obvious, guilty, and the sentence was swift. Death by hanging. Now, in 2026, appeals can cause criminal cases to drag on for years and sometimes even decades. In 1893, that was simply not the case. Stone was sentenced to hang on February 16th of 1894 in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And in the 1890s, executions in the United States were almost like college football games. They were public spectacle. Onlookers, the community, neighbors, friends, family, anybody that wanted to attend could literally catch the scene. Newspapers in Indianapolis and around the country, they even described what the gallows were going to look like with delight as this public spectacle was about to take place. They described how Stone was going to be hanged, the drop was going to be 6 feet, how thick the rope was, over 3 inches thick, and basically how long it would take. And on February 16th of 1894, Stone was hanged. Spectators described it in almost delightful detail as the execution was carried out just after midnight. The trap door had been pulled. The hood that had been placed over Stone's head had helped support the rope. And 13 minutes after the gallows had opened, Stone was cut down and pronounced dead of a broken neck. Reports at the time indicated that there was local outrage about Stone even being returned to Daviess County for his burial. But eventually, He was buried on a family farm, not far from where the Ratten family currently lays. It was certainly a dark time in Daviess County, and a local story, a local crime, and a local legend that persists to this day. Now, although this week's story has been dark, and it's a story that has persisted for decades and decades, this is my time to give a plug. Libraries around Daviess County have maintained meticulous microfilm records. And if you're ever interested in researching some of your own family history, I would invite you to visit one of these places. They are meticulously cared for, and they're a great preservation of where we came from in our past. The Daviess County Museum on Main Street in Washington has unbelievable exhibits, including one about the Ratten family murders. So now I ask you, what certain crimes, local folklore, or past historical stories would you like to know more about? I'll be happy to bring them to you. I'm Mike DeCourcy, and this has been the story of the Ratten family murders here this week on Fair Shake. Bryna will be back next week, so tune in. It's the fastest hour on Saturday morning. We'll catch you next time. So long for now.